to its left side. It landed heavily, making one attempt to rise, then lay still, only its legs scrabbling with a residual memory of what living had been. Most of the Flechettes had ripped clear through, taking flesh, muscle, bone, and tatters of torn lung with them. Some tinkled against the far wall, dropping spent and bloody. J.B. Dix grinned delightedly.
I guess it works.
They stayed in the redoubt for another day, using the time to rest their bodies and minds, to get used to the uncomfortable stiffness of new clothes, and to acclimate to their change of weaponry. Dean spent most of his waking hours down on the range, though Ryan and JB made sure that there was always at least one other person with him. Mutie rats of that size didn't hunt alone. The danger was emphasized by the disappearance of the corpse of the slaughtered rodent, but there was no sign of any fresh threat. However, everyone made extra sure that the sectors to the range were kept firmly shut and locked. Christy shared Ryan's interest in the past, and she spent much of the spare day going around the complex, hoping to find something left behind from the far-off days. But the redoubt had been well cleared. That second night, she was lying pressed close to Ryan, like two spoons cradled together. They just made love for the third time.
Ryan?
Oh, not yet, lover. Give me a couple of minutes to recover from the last one, you gaudy slut. Ow!
Just watch that mouth of yours.
That wasn't what you said 10 minutes ago.
Listen, I'm being serious.
Sure. Go ahead.
You know what I dream about?
Yeah. Finding some place where there's green grass, clean water, and good air. A safe place, away from the chilling and rad sickness, where we can settle down together. Right?
That wasn't what I was going to say. Sure, that's what I want most in the world. Some nights, around 2 a.m, blood flowing slowest in the time when the soul is at its darkest, I think we'll never do it. Other times I still hope and dream.
You don't have any dreams, and there's no way they can come true.
Ryan reached out and took her hand in his.
Yeah, I know that. I guess we keep on walking and looking. That wasn't what I was thinking about. I always hope that we'll find a redoubt that's still got the letters and stuff from the last men and women there. Diaries, you know. But there never is anything.
Ryan remembered the piece of paper he'd picked up under the discarded cap, near the entrance to the gateway. He slid out of bed, padding barefoot across the floor.
Cover your eyes.
Why?
I want to show you something. I found it yesterday after the jump.
The light clicked on, filling the bare room with a harsh glare. Ryan reached into the pockets of his coat, finding the crumpled bit of paper. He sat down on the bed, unfolding it with a careful delicacy. Christy sat up in the nest of blankets and leaned forward.
What is it?
Words and numbers, but triple faded. I can't read them properly.
Let me look.
She bowed her head over the paper, her hair uncoiling across her shoulders like a cascade of fire.
Can't see the... some kind of a code?
Could be.
Places?
Ryan squinted at it, angling the surface to try to catch all of the available light.
It looks like San Isidro or something like that. Then 8 numbers and letters.
Gateway code?
Christy looked at Ryan, her face excited.
If only we could control the jumps, lover. It's no good. Still can't read it properly. Anyway, there's only a few places listed here. Must have been loads of gateways built.
He took the paper and replaced it in the pocket of his coat, switched off the light, and clambered back into bed. Christy's fingers crept over his chest and stomach.
Feeling better yet, old man?
Ah, hell. Why not?
Dawn was always the best time of day to move on. They ate together, everyone making a hearty breakfast. All of them, including Dean, knew from bitter experience how long it might be between meals. There was canned ham and reconstituted eggs, beans with 5 different sorts of spice, some self-heat loaves of bread that weren't voted flavor of the day.
Ugh, like chewing an old pair of socks.
I bow to your superior experience in the field of sock chewing. I prefer the simile of laundered cotton wool.
Oddly, some blueberry muffins, with the same brand name on the cans, were universally declared a great success. Ryan found some tinned herrings, but remembered his appalling and near-fatal experience the last time he tried something like that. He went for the ham and beans with four muffins, swilling it all down with three mugs of the coffee sub.
Can we go outside now? I checked that vid pic lots of times, and there was never anything there. Just a big mess of green.
Ryan stood.
Sure. Everyone finished? Let's go.
They stood together in front of the small sec door that was tucked away behind the sleeping area of the compact redoubt. Ryan had checked the screen, which still showed the same picture of unrelieved vegetation, moving under a light breeze, illuminated by the dawn's early glow. There wasn't a hint of any sort of life, human or animal.
Everyone got everything?
Is that question directed at me by any chance?
Everyone. We can't come back here for anything forgotten. Blasters and spare ammo? Bit of emergency food and water?
Dean's hand went to his belt, checking that the slim knife with its turquoise hilt was still there. Ryan had tried to persuade him to take a longer, thicker blade, more like the armorer's Tecna, but the boy had insisted on sticking with what he'd already got. The fact that he'd been given it by Sharona Carson, his mother, was obviously a factor in his choice.
Skirmish line. Me at point and JB at the back. Christy second, then Doc, Dean, and Mildred, all right?
Sure, Ryan.
Good. Then let's move.
The sec door had a simple open and close control set into a discolored plexiglass panel. Ryan pressed the top button. Ryan reached for the main handle to pull it toward him.
What is it, Dean?
The boy shuffled his feet, thighs squeezed together, eyes down. He didn't reply to the question.
I asked you.
Then Dean's body language communicated itself to Ryan.
Oh, I get it. You should have gone sooner. Go on, quick. We'll wait for you.
Thanks.
Dean made his way down the long corridor. JB glanced at Ryan.
I have to teach him everything, all the time.
Yeah, I know. Here he comes. We all had to learn it all, one time.
Sorry, Dad.
Dean resumed his place in line. Ryan took the handle and pulled it slowly open. The wave of hot, damp air took everyone's breath away.
Upon my soul, there used to be a Turkish bath somewhere around 40th and 3rd in New York. Tiles and biblical paintings. I had to watch out for the shirtlifters, I recall. But it felt remarkably like this place does.
Louisiana?
JB fumbled in his pockets for his location comp, took it out, and tried a sighting at the sun.
Difficult to tell from here. Could be Louisiana. Could be Florida. Someplace in the south and east.
Not Hawaii?
Shove it, Doc.
No, definitely not Hawaii, Doc. Sorry about that, Millie.
All they could see from the doorway was a waving wall of dense, luxurious bushes. There was the rich scent of some heavily perfumed flowers, like orchids, filling the morning breeze. Ryan glanced over his shoulder at Christy.
Anything?
Not close, but there's a definite feel of people not far away.
Can I take some clothes off? I'll melt.
No, you can't, son. We travel light and we carry everything. Once you leave something behind, you find you need it the next day. Just put up with it.
If you say so.
I do.
The grass was thick and long, rising around Ryan's ankles as he stepped from the doorway. The earth was moist and spongy, sucking at his boots, moisture springing from the soil. There were bushes and trees all around, the higher branches meeting above their heads, cutting out all but a filtered section of palest blue sky. After less than a dozen paces forward, the undergrowth had closed in around the companions, making it impossible for them to see the entrance to the concealed redoubt. Ryan stopped.
Hey, JB, come here.
What is it, Ryan?
What do you reckon about this? Could get ourselves double lost in a quarter mile.
JB pushed his glasses back up his nose. He reached into his pocket and pulled out a small silver disc.
I've got a homing device we could leave here.
Got a receiver for it?
Nope.
Great.
Just have to watch our directions triple careful, won't we?
Ryan wiped sweat from his forehead.
Yeah, thanks a lot, JB. Plenty of help.
Ahead, Ryan suddenly glimpsed the silvery reflection of light off water. Cautiously, he moved on, entering a small clearing. His foot pressed down into the turf, and he felt, rather than heard, a faint mechanical sound.
Landmine!
He hurled himself flat, the pistol already in his right hand. Behind him, everyone threw themselves down into the wet grass. Only a couple of yards ahead of Ryan, the leaves parted, and the gray, wrinkled head of a gigantic horned animal loomed through.